Hello everybody. Today on Scottish Beverages, we are chatting to Claire Grogan. So how are you all? Hope you are all happy and healthy and well out there, wherever you are. Just before we get started, if you don't mind hitting that subscribe button or like button or leaving a comment on the videos, or of course, if you're listening on podcast, subscribe on podcast, and leaving us a wee 5-star review, it's not going to hurt out there. That would be absolutely incredible. But today, my inner young Scots lad is jumping up and down with joy, because today I am interviewing Claire Grogan. Claire is a singer, writer and actress who many of you will recognise as the lead singer of 80s band Altered Images. They had hits like Happy Birthday, Don't Talk to Me About Love, I Could Be Happy, and of course so many of you will recognise her when she was an actress in things like Taggart, Father Ted, EastEnders, Doctors, Legit, Skins, The Wee Man, and of course Red Dwarf, where she was the original Kachansky, and of course who could forget the classic Scottish film Gregory's Girl, as well as so much more. Claire, hello, how are you?
I'm really almost insane. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
I'm being pushed closer and closer to the edge by life's situation at the moment. But yeah, no, I mean, we're hanging on in there, but we've kind of had enough now, haven't we, Tony?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, this is almost, I think when we were recording this just now, it's a year. It's the year anniversary of lockdown now, which is unbelievable.
I was actually in Pitlochry a year ago today, opening in a play at the Festival Theatre. Barefoot in the Park reopened today, and of course, you don't need to ask what happened next. We closed. I
mean, you could only manage, what, 2-3 performances if you were lucky?
Yeah, I mean, we had our, I think we, because they were, the Festival Theatre's open on a Sunday. I think we've got the Friday night, the Saturday afternoon, Saturday night and the Sunday afternoon, and then that was it. So we've got 4 shows. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's a bit of a bittersweet day for me today.
Yeah. And when this all started, I turned around to my wife, because at the time we were about to go for a 3-month scan because she was pregnant at the time.
Wow.
So we were literally, we hadn't told anyone, you know, we were just about there. And I was like, don't worry, this will be over by June. It'll be over by June and then we'll be back to normal. And, you know, we've now got a 5-month-old baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But who's not never met anyone.
Oh.
It's funny, isn't it? It's random.
It's so crazy. I have heard about some friends saying that, you know, friends have got toddlers, literally don't remember life before lockdown. Yeah. And that's not right. This has to change soon.
Yeah, it does.
And it will.
Does. It will. We're light is at the end of the tunnel. Just before we get started, though, are you healthy and well? Are you good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really just, you know, I mean, I'm all right. I think that's the best we can all do at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like all we can ask for. That's all we can ask for. So I'll jump in. You are a Glasgow lass.
I am, yes.
What was growing up in Glasgow like then?
Well, I was brought up in Garnet Hill,
right.
Which is the backdrop to Dame Denise Mina's books, that area. So I was born in St Francis Nursing Home, and but grew up in Hill Street in Glasgow.
Right.
And I love it. I loved it. And I still do love that area of Glasgow. Garnet Hill is full of stories and history and the, of course, beautiful Glasgow School of Art, the Charles Rennie Mackintosh building, which literally grew up in the sort of was a backdrop to my growing up. So I actually thought it's where the witches lived, because somebody told me that when I was probably my big sister Margaret told me that, because she liked to scare the living bejesus out of me. So I really enjoyed that. I remember it, that's the thing. My great aunt Winnie was the organist at St Aloysius Church, And if you've never been there, it is the most beautiful church in Glasgow. It's a copy of an Italian church, and it is just a place of gorgeous solace. And it doesn't matter what faith you are, it's a beautiful place to just, if you're in busy Glasgow and you want 10 minutes of peace and quiet, I highly recommend it once, of course, everything's opened again.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
It's funny that some of the builds, I mean, obviously, I'm an Edinburgh lad, so my heart's there, but Glasgow is, it's got some, it's not known for having spectacular architecture, I suppose, compared to Edinburgh. I think we're probably more known for that, but there are some beautiful little gems like that all over Glasgow, there really is.
Well, I grown up believing that Glasgow was this place of beauty. I'm not just saying this, a place of,
no.
And I know the ugly side of Glasgow. I mean, we all know that only too well. And that's the side of all big cities.
Yeah.
For me, growing up in Glasgow, I was immersed in the beauty of it. You know, my dad used to take me to the art gallery in Kelvin Grove on a Sunday, which is one of the first places I took my baby daughter Ellie when she first arrived in Glasgow. That whole area around Glasgow University and all the lanes around the West End. I mean, these are all beautiful places, and, you know, and there's the obvious ones like Park Circus. So for me, I always thought Glasgow was quite a grand place growing up, you know, all those beautiful mansions and Great Western Road. I went to school in the West End. So, I mean, I was surrounded. I was always quite surprised that people thought Glasgow was this rough place. I'd obviously had a very, very protected upbringing in Glasgow up until a certain point. But there is so many beautiful, all the Charles Rennie Mackintosh buildings, one of my mum's favourite places. When she was still around, she'd go to the House for an Art Lover in Bella Houston Park, which is a homage to Charles Rennie Mackintosh. And, you know, and the parks of Glasgow. I mean, you can tell I'm a Glasgow enthusiast, but I do love Edinburgh as well. I'm actually a big fan of Scotland.
We've got that in common. We've got that. The thing is that the good, what I always enjoy when I'm doing these interviews as well, because I know Edinburgh and I love Edinburgh and I think it comes across in everything I do here, but I love Scotland. I love to share it. And when I talk to someone like yourself from anywhere else in Scotland and I get to hear all these little bits that I don't know, I love it. I love hearing all these little bits. Like I said, I'm probably one of the few that Edinburgh people that loves Glasgow. I love Glasgow. I think that little friendly rivalry we've got, it's part of us, but it's a nice part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I quite enjoy it to a certain extent, the rivalry, and I love both cities. Both cities have been really good to me. Edinburgh, my sister lives in Edinburgh, and I've worked in Edinburgh lots and hung out in Edinburgh. I've worked at the Fringe Festival. And so I really do have a genuine, it's funny because Edinburgh's really grown on me as I've gotten older. And I think it's that thing of when I'm in Edinburgh and you look down any street when you're in central Edinburgh, you just, the absolute incredible backdrops everywhere of hills, water. It's emotional, the castle. I remember being a bit disappointed in the castle when I was a wee girl because I just didn't think it was like Disney enough. And of course now I'm delighted that it's not. It is just the most spectacular building. And you know, we were fortunate at Old Stonebridge's, we were lucky enough to play the castle a couple of years ago. And it was emotional. I mean, it really was. All those years of being sort of, dare I say, dragged to the tattoo and stuff. But to get to be in that courtyard performing was a very, very special moment for me. I really loved it. I feel so fortunate that I have these experiences that allow me to scratch beyond the surface, you know, just getting to see the behind the scenes of Edinburgh Castle and how it works. What an absolute privilege that is. It was great.
I love it. I've always loved Edinburgh Castle growing up. I'm going to be slightly critical. I don't think visiting it is the most exciting castle to visit. I think Stirling Castle, yes, you get to explore it more. You know what I mean? You get to see little bits. Edinburgh Castle, because it's also the base of Scottish military and things, there's bits you can't go to.
Yes, secret bits.
Yeah, Stirling Castle is just more intriguing.
Stirling Castle is absolutely amazing, and I've had the chance, but you cannot wear high heels because those cobblestones are...
Let me write that down. I'll need to remind myself. Never wear high heels.
Absolutely, on my all fours several times. And that sounds really rude, but I have really honestly fallen over there so many times. But also there are the amazing tapestries,
yeah,
of the unicorn, Scotland's national animal.
Yeah, which I love. Unicorn. I love that our animal's a unicorn.
So do I. I absolutely adore that. And they have the amazing tapestries at Stirling Castle. It's almost like when I was coming on, I said to Christine, who's with me, I said, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say. I said, because there's just so many places and things that I love about Scotland. But also, you kind of forget as well. It's almost when you start talking about them. I'm a huge fan of the Ayrshire coast, and I'm not going to leave that out of today's conversation. And I'm not just saying that because Christine's a girl from Prestwick. My auntie lived in Garvin. And so when I was a wee girl, I used to go to that coastline quite a lot. It was like for my holidays, basically. And I really, Killane Castle. Oh, my. Right. Have you ever been?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you need to get yourself there.
You're preempting my next question, because my next question was going to be, growing up, did you get to explore Scotland on holidays a lot? So obviously that mm-hmm. must be what you've been, heading to Ayrshire quite a bit.
Yeah, my dad was brought up in Fort William, so we would head up there.
I love Fort William. Fort William, yeah. Beautiful.
So do I. I've got a huge soft spot for Fort William. And when we were growing up, we did a lot of holidays in Scotland, because that's kind of what you did, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and in fact, last year, my husband and my daughter and I had decided that we were going to holiday in Scotland. We weren't going to go abroad, that we would do. This is before the whole lockdown thing had happened. We were thinking, because Stephen and I, over the years, many times have got in the car and done a tour of the Highlands and gone to all the great places. And I said, we need to do this with Ellie. And actually, we didn't quite get the chance to do it last summer because of all sorts of reasons. But we have two restaurants in London as well, and they just reopened. So holidays didn't quite happen. Like, for many people, you know, yeah, it's difficult. But I love the idea of the fact that we've got so much to still introduce Ellie to in Scotland, because she loves, her Nana and Nono live in East Kilbride, my husband, right, Stephen's mum and dad. So we've had quite a few days in East Kilbride over the years. I know that East Kilbride shopping centre like the back of my hand. So I do. And the great thing is, Ellie, well, you can never predict this because she was born in London, but she absolutely loves Scotland. In fact, every so often I find her on the interweb looking up flats in Glasgow. She says,
that's nice, though. That's really nice, though.
She's always looking at trendy Finiston.
It's funny because I went through a phase of, as I mentioned to you before I got started, I lived in London for about six, seven years or so. And I deliberately moved down to London because I didn't want to be known as a Scottish performer just in Scotland. That's why I moved down. And obviously I've moved back up many years ago now and embraced it more. And it's funny how being down there actually made me more Scottish, I think.
I hear you. I'm exactly the same. You know, it's a funny thing. You know, you really start appreciating and understanding that your identity is pretty much really, really attached to the way you were brought up and how you were brought up and where you were brought up. And for me, being Scottish is just, it's just who I am. And people either get that or they don't.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. I can't also have you here without mentioning that, you know, one of the best Scottish films ever, Gregory's Girl, which was a big part of my youth, that film. Does it still come back to you now? It must sort of be have a very special place for you.
Yeah. I mean, hardly a week or even a day goes by where someone doesn't mention it to me. And
well, I've been that mentioned today.
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful thing to have in life. I mean, I really, I'm so fortunate that this film that I did the summer I left school has stayed in people's hearts for the length of time it has. And you know, people occasionally ask me, do I get bored about being asked about Gregory's Girl? And I say never. Because what a joy to have something that is surrounded by so much positivity and good feeling. And I really tune into that with people, and I feel so lucky that I've got that. I really genuinely do.
I think it captured something that of the Scottish personality, the Scottish humour that we have, that I don't think I'd really had the chance to be shown properly before. Because there's some genuine, I think there's still even now, there's some genuine moments in that film that you really only get if you're Scottish, I think. Some of the jokes in there. But it I think it shows the place in such a nice light as well. The warmth and the Scottish people.
I was, pardon me, working, drinking fizzy water, so I was working last December with the actor Colin McCready.
Yeah.
And we were,
I've had him on here. Colin's lovely.
Yeah, he's a lovely man. And he was saying to me the thing about Gregory's Girl for him. He said it's the first time he ever saw a film that really felt like it represented the type of people, person we were and who he was. Because he could really identify with characters in a film for the first time as being somebody like him. And I think that sums it up a lot for a lot of people. It was like almost seeing a slice of your own life on screen, you know, and I think that is the beauty of it.
Yeah, it really is. Kind of sort of staying on the same subject, and you've touched on this kind of as well, when you get to perform round Scotland, is the places that you kind of go, oh, I love it when I'm there. I love it when I'm working there. Do you have your favourite places around Scotland to work at?
I can't have favourites. Can you imagine the backlash?
Okay,
Scotland is a small place, Tony, you know?
Yeah, there is only 5.5 million of them. It's actually not a lot.
Yeah, so the thing is, I mean, it's definitely quite different to working down here, I have to say. One of my favourite stories was when I got the opportunity to do the Panto at the King's Theatre in Glasgow.
Beautiful theatre. It's a beautiful theatre.
And Tony Roper. And we had such a good time. But my everlasting memory of it is kind of like doing something on stage and coming off to the wings, and somebody would be standing with a huge box of Celebrations or Heroes or milk tray, and they'd be like, Claire, did you get time for a chocolate before you get back on? Which, to be dead honest with you, that's an experience I've never had down south, where they're waiting in the wings with a box of chocolates for you. I love it.
I mentioned this before, but I had Alan Stewart on here, and obviously he does the Panto at the King's Edinburgh every year, and he said Tunnock's tea cakes, he'll always have loads of he'll have a Tunnock's tea cake at the interval of every show. Tunnock's tea cake, there we go. And then he'll roll it up and put it in his dressing gown, roll the thing away. By the end of the run, he's got loads of little balls of Tunnock's tea cake wrappers in his dressing gown.
Absolutely. I mean, it is really, really the sweet tooth in Scotland. It is kind of legendary, but it sort of takes my breath away every time I'm working up there. Everyone's like, anyone with the caramel logs? It's brilliant. It's, I love it.
It says, I think it says a lot about us. So, you know, that I don't want to say that we're a feeder nation, you know, just trying to put, but I think it's that generosity. It's that kindness. Oh, you want a sweetie? That's probably one of the best ways to describe us.
Yeah, I think it is an absolute, like, you know, whenever anyone comes to your house, or it's like a cup of tea, you know, cake or a wee biscuit. And also, I remember I used to be absolutely mortified when anyone came to our house and the first thing my mum said to them was, "Do you need to use the bathroom?" And of course, now when anyone arrives at my house, I go, "Do you need to use the loo before we start?" I am basically my mum. But I've banned, I have to admit, I had to, like a lot of people in that first lockdown, I ate my way through it, and I've had to be very strict this second lockdown. So all sweets, cakes and biscuits are currently barred from my household.
But we're failing on that aspect drastically. But in fairness, we've got a 5-month-old. Any energy is good energy that we can get into us right now.
You want to know what the sleep situation?
We're getting there. We're getting there. She went through a good phase. My daughter's name's Lillian, and we went through a good phase. But we've hit a sort of 4 or 5 month sleep regression. So she's now back to waking up every 2-3 hours or so during the night.
Just likes to hang out with you. Come on.
I think there definitely is a part of that, I think. She's just like, "Oh, I'm bored now. I'm on my own. Can someone play with me?" And the thing is, we're taking turns. We've got a bed in the room with her. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of taking turns each night to sort of spend the night with her, really. But and she's just, even though we're right there, she's like, "Bored, entertain me."
You're too much fun, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's not a bad thing. I'm quite happy to live with that. Yeah. I was going to say, one of the things that I noticed when I moved into London, and I don't know if you have, is the little different sayings that get picked up on. I remember when I moved into my first flat at college down there, it was me and 5 others. It was a big flat we had. And I remember one night going, "I'm away to my bed," thinking nothing of it. And all of them picked me up to going, "Yeah, we know you're away to your bed. You wouldn't be away to," because they just go, "I'm away to bed." But I was, "I'm away to my bed." And I never even thought about it, but they properly picked up on that. Have you had anything like that?
I mean, the famous one, though, was going out for the messages, you know. I mean, I don't know if that's more of a Glasgow thing or not, but that is definitely the one that people always eventually say to me, "What are these? What messages?"
You know what really made us laugh with that? With that,
the sandwich.
What really made us laugh with that is we were watching The Chase, and that was a question. If you're going for the messages in Scotland, what does that mean? And me and my wife were sitting there going, that's not genuinely a question, is it? And they didn't get it. They got it wrong. I was like, "Oh, come on."
That's funny.
I know we're kind of run slightly out of time, so I'll ask you, like I've sort of said, I'm very lucky. The people that watch the channel are from all over the world for various reasons, either coming over for holiday or they've got Scottish ancestry or anything. If people were going to come over, what would be your top tips for anyone visiting Scotland?
Walk. I mean, walk in the hills, walk around the city centres. Just get on your feet, really, because it's both Glasgow and Edinburgh, Dundee, Aberdeen, all these cities are easy to get around, and you miss things if you don't walk. And of course, then there's just all those beautiful, beautiful hills to see. And yeah, walking, just take your really good shoes with you. Take your comfy shoes.
It's funny you should mention that, because obviously we were chatting just before we got started, that you were telling me about the chalk walks.
Yeah, which is something that I'm definitely going to try out. I read about it online, and the Chalk Walk Edinburgh is something that's been put together by some performers, because obviously actors are not able to Well, I mean, there's a bit of work happening, but it's not what it is or what it should be, but it's all coming back. So some performers are doing sort of one-to-one tours of the city. I don't know too much about it, but it certainly sounds like something that I would really like to do, because every review I've read about it has been like, this is a funny thing to do, really good fun, and also is supporting the arts community, which is really important to all of us at the moment. You know, it's been a really, really tough time.
I mean, truthfully, where would we all been in lockdown without the people that are performing on telly for us? You know, I mean, all these performers, whether it be live or on telly, we've got to thank them.
Yeah,
for keeping us going, really.
Definitely, where would we have been without all these amazing box sets?
There is that. Without Phil and Holly on this morning, I don't know what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
I like to finish off what I call difficult questions for us Scots, and your sweet tooth is going to come back into this now.
Okay.
Shortbread or tablet?
Shortbread.
Oh, nice, decisive.
Definite. Yes, definitely. I love shortbread. Tablet, I can take or leave.
I'm a bit of an addict to shortbread, to be completely honest. Shortbread and a cup of tea, and I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, when I get to a hotel room in Scotland, and the first thing I do is check out what the shortbread's like, because there's always a packet of shortbread beside your tea and kettle. Forget the mini bar and straight into the biscuits.
But it's treats, and you know what? As much, you can eat a bad shortbread, but when you find a nice, you know, but a nice shortbread, you get a sense of, oh, that's good.
Yes. The thing is, you realise you're a bit more of a snob than you think you are when you find yourself going, oh, that's a very nice shortbread. Oh, Portman and Mason. Oh, say no more.
When I'm walking around, you're walking around the supermarket and you're actually going, oh no, that doesn't look like nice shortbread. I think I'll take that one. Yeah. Iron brew or whiskey?
Iron brew.
Really? When you do, because obviously that's quite sweet as well.
Love an iron brew. I mean, it is the best hangover cure, let's face it.
Oh, it really is. It really is.
Or Scottish orange juice, as I used to call it when I introduced my daughter to it at first, because I was trying to make sure that she wasn't telling people I was giving her fizzy drinks for breakfast. So I was like, this is Scottish orange juice. She really liked it. Whiskey, do you know, I feel like a bit of a failure as a Scot because I just don't do whiskey at all. I love the idea of it. I love the history of it. I love the way it's made, and I love how passionate people are about it, but it just makes me gag.
It is a bit of it's been a bit of a 50-50 when I've been chatting to people about it, and everyone kind of says the same. If they're a Scots person that doesn't like whiskey, you kind of go, oh, I feel bad that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's an acquired taste. And I think there's no other better description. You have to learn to like it.
Yeah.
I think for some things can be difficult.
Yes, I think that kind of whole appreciation of it, and the more challenging the malt is, the more superior that person feels about their love of whiskey. I'm sorry. Nah.
Square sausage or black pudding?
Ooh.
Yeah, these are the real questions to find out. These are the proper deep questions.
Actually, I've got a bit of a fondness for black pudding, which is something growing up I hated. But as I've had, I've got a more mature palate, shall we say, I do quite like a tiny bit of black pudding, just a little bit. I do love a rolling square sausage, but...
Again, a good for a hangover.
Yeah, with the iron brew or the Scottish orange juice. It's been a long time since I've had a square sausage.
I was chatting to Barbara Dixon about it, and she got properly excited. Like, honestly, when I mentioned square sausage, she was bouncing up and down going, I love it! I love it! And I was like, okay.
My daughter Ellie loves it because our Nana gives her square sausage when she's visiting her in East Kilbride. And Ellie's always like, Mum, would you buy... Mum, when you're out at Waitrose, would you pick up the square sausage, please?
But I will agree with you about the black pudding. I used to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I seem to have acquired a taste for it now as I've got older.
Just a little bit, you know.
Yeah. I
wouldn't have it in a roll, but
no, and I wouldn't buy it and make it at home. But you see, if I'm having a full breakfast somewhere, I will enjoy the black pudding, which I never used to. Yeah.
Yes, I'm absolutely with you on that.
Haggis, neeps and tatties, or mince and tatties?
That's a hard choice. Both.
just on the one plate. Just give me it all.
Both, yeah.
With mince and tatties as well, and this is something I've said to everyone, haggis, neeps and tatties is standard. You know, the recipe is in the title. Mince and tatties, there's no set you know, it's how your mum did it, really, and everyone's mum did it differently.
Slightly, yeah. I make minced potatoes for my daughter because she loves it, and for my husband. But they always say it's not as nice as Nana's. And I'm like that. Well, you can wait till you're at Nana's next time to get it.
It's fine, I'm not making it again then, am I? Wait, don't make it for a little while, and then they'll just go, are you going to make haggis, neeps and mince and tatties? Last, but by no means least, Tunnocks tea cakes or caramel wafers?
Tea cakes. The Tunnock tea cake is a delicacy that I adore beyond life itself.
And I'm just a sombar question. What do you do with the wrapper afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I put it in the bin, Tony.
Really? I'm properly smoothing it out so there's no creases.
Yeah, I definitely smooth it out, then scrunch it up. Yeah, you definitely do. I think there's something in us.
You have to see that full pattern just before you throw. Claire, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for sparing the time to come on. It's been a genuine pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for asking me, and you know, keep sane, keep well, and yeah, see you on the other side.
That was brilliant. It's an absolute joy to chat to Claire. Claire seems like one of those iconic Scottish personalities that it truly, truly feels like a privilege to get a chance to chat to her there. And it's difficult for me whether I think of her more as Kachansky from Red Dwarf or, of course, Susan and Gregory's girl. She bounces between the two in my head. But if you enjoyed that, please remember, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and of course, leave a comment as well. But keep yourself safe out there. Till next time. Bye, humans.